Hello and welcome to the Puck Report. We're going to drop Utah because we're starting to get national. And speaking of that, we have big news that just dropped today. Ryan Smith, the owner of the Utah Jazz, has officially requested that Utah get an expansion team into the NHL. So that's huge for the market. We've been talking about it on this podcast since we started the podcast 5 years ago. We've written articles about it, and it finally looks like it's going to happen. So today, we're going to talk. This is going to be a positive podcast, and then we've got some sad news. This is a sandwich, right? We're going to start with good news, we'll talk about a little bad news, and we'll talk about some good news. My special guest today, Garrett Metcalf from the Utah Grizzlies. Garrett, you've been on the show before.
Yep.
And we're glad to have you, so thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
What do you think about the NHL coming to Utah? Like, I know we've talked about it before, but what do you think?
It's a mixed bag for me. I think it's an exciting prospect. We talked about how Seattle's done it, Vegas has done it, they've had success at it. So I think that there is a chance for us to be successful and fill seats and hopefully grow the game in Utah and give kids that otherwise wouldn't have an opportunity to play the sport a chance.
Yeah, and that's the thing for me. You and I, like, we go back a long way, and you know my whole thing has been like, I just want to get as many people involved in hockey as possible. And anybody that goes and plays, it basically gets addicted to it. And it just helps grow, and we get more and more players like you that grow up and then get drafted. And that wasn't happening before. We had a few players. But the one thing, and people keep saying, well, the Grizzlies only get 3,000 to 6,000 a night, but that's pretty good for double A. And if you look at any of these other markets, if you look at Vegas, they have 3 or 4 West Coast League, East Coast League, whatever, came in, same thing, 2,000 to 3,000 fans per game. Didn't work in Phoenix. Phoenix had like 4 or 5 teams. You know, they had the Mustangs. They had all kinds of teams go through there. But then the NHL comes, and it's a big footprint, and they really establish themselves. And they get out, and they reach the kids, and the kids get addicted. And then the parents come to a couple games. And maybe they weren't fans before, but they get that bug. They don't even have to be players. They get the bug. They learn about hockey, and now they're buying tickets to go see NHL hockey. Nashville's another huge one. Never worked in Nashville, and the Predators are super successful. And then, like you were talking before, you mentioned to me before we went on the air that the Colorado Avalanche and the Anaheim Ducks and Vegas, the way they do it, they go out and they get the kids, and they find a way for them to play at a reasonable rate. Like, they supply the gear. So then you take out that huge barrier that everybody talks about because hockey's expensive. Do you think that could work here? I mean, you think what do you think that would do to the market here?
I think it'd be good. I think it would be a disservice to the community, not just the hockey community, but just the kids around here, if they didn't come in and have kind of those learn to play where they were, buying gear and giving back to the community that's ultimately going to support them. And like you said, I'm no mathematician, but the more people that are playing hockey, the higher likelihood of people going on and playing at higher levels. I think that's just ultimately what's going to happen. So I think it could work. And again, I think it's an exciting prospect. So obviously look forward to hearing what's going on moving forward.
You hear about the downward spiral of stuff all the time, right? Whatever that is. But this is an upward spiral, because if this happens, then this happens, and this happens, and this happens. And next thing you know, like, Utah's a hockey market. And I could see it even going a step further, because we have two teams right now in club hockey that could easily make the step into NCAA. University of Utah has all the groundwork done. They have a rink on campus. Weber State, groundwork's done. Rink on campus. And then they could just join in, and then you've got Air Force, Colorado College, Denver University. There's huge talk of all those teams. I know Stanford was talking about it. Cal was talking about it. So you could have – this could really change the face of hockey in the United States. Any thoughts on that as an NCAA guy?
Yeah, and we were talking about before, I think it's great. Obviously, you give more kids the opportunity. I guess I would say the only downside to it is, in my opinion, you start to water down the game a little bit. Yep. Obviously, you're giving more kids that wouldn't have the opportunity to play NCAA Division I an opportunity. But again, the more people you have in it, some people probably don't belong that are getting an opportunity. So I would say that's the only downside, not to be negative on a positive topic of the NHL coming here and potentially the University of Utah going D1 or even Weber State, but I would say that's the only downside to that.
Yeah, and I could see, and just to, that's both of our opinion, but just to play like devil's advocate on that, like, maybe because we have more players playing, maybe we do have more elite level players. And so you talked about it before with, who was your example, Theodore?
Shea Theodore.
And we talked about, like, he was not getting a chance. and now he's a superstar.
Yeah.
And maybe there are other guys in the NHL, or maybe there are guys that, you know, now we have 5,000 more hockey players in the state of Utah. Maybe we create more elite level players so it doesn't water down the NHL. Could happen.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
But, all right, so what would you say to those people that just say, well, you know, the Grizzlies aren't selling out. This isn't a hockey market. What's your comeback to that?
I think it goes back to your point, and obviously I think it's a great level. I think it's gotten way better than it used to be for sure, but ultimately, like we talked about, it is double-A hockey at the end of the day. I think the biggest thing with Utah, and we talk about it tonight, like we play on a Wednesday night, which is great, but people work, kids have school. It's not a Friday, Saturday where families can take off or go out on the night. So I think that is hard as far as filling seats in our stadium. I also honestly think we could do a better job of being out in the public. I remember when I played junior hockey, not so much in college, but like you're going to schools, you're reading books. I hate to take my own personal aspect into this, but I went to Easton Highland High School. Not once have I ever gone there to talk about, you know, making it or playing college or playing pro. And I think being out in the community more would generate more people trying to come to the game. So I think we're missing on that front a little bit too. And I think if we were a little bit more involved in the community, maybe we would sell out, or maybe we would have more fans involved in that.
Yeah, for sure. And I know Jared is trying to get as much, like, because he works his butt off to sell tickets. But yeah, it is weird. I feel like there are some misses there. And then one more part of this is the rumor is they're going to build the new arena where the prison used to be.
Okay.
So the rumor is he wants to put it there so that he can draw from the Salt Lake market and he can draw from the Utah County market.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think there's plans too, and I don't know if I saw this, but I think there's plans. Weren't they talking about building the baseball stadium?
Baseball's going to Daybreak.
Oh, okay.
But
it
yeah.
It still would be decently close, and I feel like they're expanding out there, like more people are living out there.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of, I mean, I hate to call it like another downtown, but like kind of another mecca in Salt Lake. Like so many people are moving here. It's getting crowded down here, in my opinion. Like,
oh, yeah.
Which is great because now Utah's growing, and hopefully you draw in more of those people from California and God knows where else they're coming from. But like you said, you open up more opportunity and create another mecca and put some sporting teams out there, and then it's just going to grow out there as well.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. And just to clarify before I get all the hate texts or emails, I know that it's the AAA that's going to Daybreak, and I know that they're talking about doing the Major League expansion. It's going to be downtown in the Power District. Do you know what, Josh, what it's called? I always ask Josh just random questions, so just draw him into the podcast. Anyway, so that's supposed to be like in the power plant area, but yeah, so it's still going to grow, and it's just awesome. Like, I love just being a part of all the conversations that are going on right now, because I feel like we've just been stale for years, and like, I go to all the Grizzlies games because I love hockey, but you know, you have the Utah Jazz, which I can't even get. I work at KSL Sports. I can't even get a free ticket to go to the Utah Jazz. And like, I'm just excited about all the changes and all the potential changes. And like, Major League Baseball, that's amazing. They play 180 games. And you talk about like a Wednesday night game? Yeah, they have Wednesday day games.
Yeah.
So like, for a firefighter like me, I got the day off. I'm definitely going to go to a Major League Baseball game because it's Major League Baseball. I'm going to go see the New York Yankees play in Salt Lake City. That's cool. But what's for me, what's going to be cool is seeing the Toronto Maple Leafs play in Salt Lake City. Can you imagine that?
For sure.
It's unreal.
I think Utah, I guess going off that too, and we talk about the positives and negatives, but if we're starting to bring in all these teams, you have the NBA, you're going to have the MLB. Obviously, we don't have the NFL, but the NFL is close in Vegas. But you would hope with them bringing in the NHL too that fans would give the NHL a chance. I think anyone that watches hockey is going to like it. But like we talked about before, like maybe the market isn't necessarily there for whatever reason, whether that's, you know, being more involved in the community or X, Y, and Z. But hopefully if you are bringing in Major League Baseball, we already have the Jazz, now you're bringing the NHL, hopefully people give hockey more of a chance than they have.
Yeah.
And I think if they go and watch, they're going to fall in love with it. I don't see how you couldn't.
No, and I think that's what's happened. I think that's what happened in Vegas. I know that's what happened in Nashville. Is they had a vein, like a gold mine, right? Like, they found some. There were hockey fans in there. It wasn't enough to fill an NHL arena, though. But it was enough to start it, and then as more people went, and it's the entertainment value. Like I said, I would go to a Major League Baseball game. I'm not a baseball fan. But I would go to the game because it's entertainment, and it's amazing to see, you know, these teams. I think more people would do that with the NHL, and I think you end up selling out those buildings.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome.
I think it's interesting, too. I remember I went to an Oakland A's game back when I was younger with my dad, and there was a ton of Boston Red Sox fans there, and we're like, what are you doing, like, traveling all the way from Boston? They said, it's cheaper for us to fly out to Oakland and watch the Red Sox play than it would be for us to get tickets at Fenway Park. So it's kind of like, I don't know what the ticket prices would look like out here, but you talk about watching Toronto play. It might be cheaper to fly from Toronto to Salt Lake City and get a ticket than to try to battle with all those corporate people there that are paying huge prices for tickets.
Yeah, for sure. Because those Maple Leafs tickets are unreal expensive. Unreal.
They can't be the only place.
Yeah. No, it's, well, even Vegas is pricing me out because I was going to the games the first 5 years and I can't afford to go anymore.
I guess that would be my hope for Salt Lake. And
yeah, it's
hard
it's
because
affordable.
they're trying to make money as well. But I think that's what everybody, like, everyone's really excited about the NHL coming here, and I am too. I think it could be awesome. But, like, if you're walking in and ticket prices are outrageous, like, then people aren't going to go.
Yeah.
We talk about people not being able to afford certain things. Like,
right.
How are you going to afford to bring your family of five to a hockey game, or you and your spouse if tickets are $200+? Like,
yeah.
That's an expensive
night. $1,000 just on tickets.
Yeah, and then you throw a couple beers in there or whatever, a hot dog. It's not a cheap night.
That it's sad but true. A lot of the major league sports are super expensive. The cool thing for me though, like with Vegas now, and I hope this is what would happen here, is I can afford to go. Like if I go to Vegas and I can't get into the Knights game, I can go to a Silver Knights AHL game for $15, and it's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good hockey.
Phenomenal. Like I just love it. But, you know, again, I love hockey. I watch high school here. I watch our junior teams that are here. I call them the junior A-. And then, you know, I still like to go watch them. That's not junior A hockey. It's not true junior A hockey. I think they really know that. And I'm not ripping on them. I'm just saying I know that as well as they know that. But I still like it's good hockey. I love watching the Grizzlies. Those are guys that have all, like you, we got a bunch of drafted guys. We got a bunch of guys that played NCAA. Like, it's good. It's fun. And it's pretty affordable. But I still get hit up all the time for a free $12 ticket.
Yeah, which is crazy to me.
Yeah. And talking about that, Garrett, I've known you your whole life. We've been super proud of you. And we're so excited when you got drafted. And we're so excited when you just got out of here. Like, it was so cool to see you go. And you made an announcement. Yes, you and I have known, like you've known for a while, and I was happened to be in the locker room e-bugging while you were injured. You made an announcement yesterday. Do you care to make it again?
Yeah, so I have to have my hips replaced, and unfortunately after that I won't be able to play anymore. That was pretty much the announcement, is I guess I'm retiring, or I'm forced into retirement because of a career-ending injury.
Yeah, that's horrible, buddy. We're all sad to see this come for you. It is the nature of the business, especially with goalies, knees or hips, man. It's going to be one of those. And with this, the new style of goalie, I mean, we've had Jordan Parise on here a ton of times, and it was his hips that cost him his career. And it just seems like it just happens.
Yeah, it's kind of eye-opening too, to think about, like, and Patrick Waugh talked about before too, because he pretty much implemented the butterfly style. So I don't know, like, it works, obviously, but I don't know if there's going to be kind of a shift or transition, because you talk to a lot of kids that play goalie, and they have to have their hips done, or they have this, or they have that, and it's certainly because of the butterfly, and I wonder if there'll be a transition to kind of being more hybrid, going back to that hybrid style. I don't think you'll ever phase out butterfly goalies, but learning to read the release better and stay on your feet when you can. I know you're a big fan, and I think he's fantastic, but like Trent Miner's unbelievable at it.
Yeah.
Like they'll come down and they're shooting pucks high. Like he's not going down. He's staying on his feet. He's reading the release, watching the puck, and he makes great, unbelievable hand saves just standing on his feet.
Yeah.
Where I feel like a lot of people, and I can attest to it, I was one of them, like almost every shot I was probably go down in the butterfly.
Yep.
So over your career, you're doing a million plus butterflies. Like that's not good on your body.
Right.
It's not a comfortable position to be in all the time.
That's one of the funny things though, is when I do e-bug, because I do butterfly in a game, but I don't butterfly a lot during practice. And it's just funny to see the older guys just be like, or not the older guys, the younger players be like, this old guy just stands up the whole time.
Yeah.
Like
it's frustrating for them too, because they're so used to everyone having the butterfly.
And they are always shooting corners, and I'm like, my glove's already there.
Yeah.
That's, you know, but I'm just deceptively slow.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm just already standing up.
That's funny.
So what's next for you? What's going to happen?
I'm not 100% sure. I think I'm leaning towards coaching, to be honest with you. I love coaching my local, you know, Utah goalies here. I think I'd like to get an assistant role somewhere, hopefully junior or college.
Yeah.
Maybe potentially one day work my way up into the professional ranks. Ultimately, I think it'd be very cool to be a head coach in the NCAA. And obviously, you see a lot of guys that are long-tenured coaches in the NCAA. I think that would be like, that's like the golden standard.
Yeah.
But getting somewhere from being there for a while, I think would be really cool.
Is it still a rule you have to have a degree to be an NCAA coach?
Correct.
That's awesome.
Yep.
I think that that's a good standard, I think, to have.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people disagree with me, but there are a lot of players like yourself that went through, you understand it better because you were an athlete and you were a student. You were the student athlete, but you know you have to be both. And I think sometimes if you have a coach that doesn't understand the school part, you'll probably have guys going through and not getting their degrees.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. It's just more relatable and understanding of things like, it's hard because obviously, like, we only play Friday, Saturday most of the time, every once in a while a weekday, but very rarely. And, you know, there's sometimes where guys just have off games or, you know, aren't doing right. And it's kind of like, well, finals week is kind of around. So you can understand and relate to that because you've been through it. Some people's degrees are harder than others. Like, classes can be stressful. So just being able to relate to that and understand that, yeah, while we are hockey players at the school and representing the university, we're also student athletes. And, the school comes first. Like,
yeah,
you don't have good grades, you're not playing. Then the biggest thing I can tell the kids going there too is like, if you take care of the school aspect first, your life is stress-free. Because when you don't take care of the school stuff and you're trying to be at the rink and do that part first, you have all the other stuff subconsciously in the back of your mind that's weighing on you when you're playing games and practicing, and you can't fully be there and be present.
See, I think just listening to you talk, and you've made such a transition over the last... Are we still allowed to say transition?
Yeah.
Over the last lot of years, you just knowing you and watching you grow up and watching the paths that you're picking and the things that you're learning, the leadership stuff. You have your own. Do you still have your own podcast?
I don't anymore. No, it got too hard.
I was going to promote it, but yeah.
That's all right.
But the leadership style, you have a lot of the same leadership stuff that I've tried to learn as a captain of the fire department. And I think the person that you've became, like, it sucks that you're done as a player. But I think this is what you're supposed to do. I think the path that you've picked, the experience that you've gained in the past, your lifetime. How old are you now? 26?
27.
27 and getting bilateral hip replacement. But I think everything you've done has set you up for this. And it may not feel like that now, but you're a remarkable person. I'm trying to think of the right words to say without pumping your tire too hard. You just seem to get it more now. Like, you were a great kid, but you're an awesome adult. And I'm excited. I think you're what kids around here need. And I think somebody like you, like, you got to go pay your dues. You got to go coach juniors, and you got to go coach whatever. And you're going to be in some bus leagues. But some college is going to find you and be lucky to have a guy like you, because I think you get it now. I think there were probably a few years you didn't get it, but I think you've grown into... Like, none of us get it when we're younger. I'm not saying
sure.
I'm not saying I'm not ripping on you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying you got to grow up, right? And we don't always pick the right path. Some of us grew up and we're still angry about stuff, or we grew up or whatever. But you grew up and you took that path of leadership. You took that path of being positive. You took the path of trying to help other people. And I think that's your calling. I think hockey was the way to get you there.
Mm-hmm.
I think being a goalie and being a hockey player made you pay all those prices. And now you're going to go pay your dues somewhere. You're going to be a phenomenal NCAA coach.
Thank you.
That's my hope.
I appreciate that.
All right. So is that enough pumping your tire?
Yeah, it's good. Okay. I just want to piggyback on that, and I kind of said it in the post, but like, you know, I never played in the NHL. I played pro for 4 years and was able to play in the American Hockey League, and I'm very proud of what I was able to accomplish as a hockey player. But as you just mentioned, like, I'm more proud of the person I've become in the process and all the adversity and all the hardships I've had to go through. To your point, I think have made me the person I am today. I have great parents and have had great leaders as coaches, great mentors along the way that have really helped me, and very fortunate to have lived the life that I have. And
he pointed at me when he said great coaches. Yeah, yeah. Nobody could see that on the radio, but you pointed
to,
at me.
Yeah. To be where I am today, though, no, seriously, there's a lot of people that I've crossed paths with that have really shaped me into the human that I am today, so I'm forever grateful for those people.
You're super lucky, and it doesn't come without the work, and you get that, and it's awesome. I feel the same way just as an e-bug, man. I have e-bugged for some of the best coaches. And to just sit back and listen to some of these, like, guys in the NHL now, and, man, what a what a phenomenal opportunity for some fireman to go sit the bench and listen to these up and coming coaches and learn from them. And then I would literally get off the ice sometimes and go grab my phone and like map down either what they said or what this drill was. And then later that night when I was coaching, I would just go say the same things and then be this, you know, like do the same drill. Like I've never once hidden the fact that 90% of the drills I have, I stole from JP Parisi. Mm. But there's also a reason that there are so many of his players in the NHL.
For sure.
You know? But yeah, that's awesome. And that's cool. We're pumped for what comes next. I'd love to see you be able to slide into the Grizzlies, but, you know, there's other things coming here pretty soon, hopefully.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
And you're going to be one of the top guys mentioned for a lot of that stuff. I mean, there's going to be Trevor's name is going to come up a lot because we know that this is his last or maybe second to last year playing. Evan Stoffler. There's just not a ton of guys with your resume, and they're not going to bring everybody in from other markets. So if an NHL team came here, there's probably something in there for you. There could be. I'm sure your dad will find a job there.
Yeah, yeah.
Your dad manages to get a job
there. I jokingly said if I got a head coaching job playing juniors, I bring my dad on as an assistant, and credit to my girlfriend because she told me to bring him on. And I joked with him about it the other day. He was like, I'd love that. Like, I think my dad just loves going to the rink. He just loves hockey. He always has. It's just always been him.
Your dad's been a phenomenal influence on kids around here. We had him on the show too, man. He's just, again, just such a great person. Positive, all the time positive. And his whole thing with the nuts to soup or what's his?
Soup to nuts.
Soup to nuts.
Yep.
And just believing in the process because a lot of people don't get it. And I just kind of had to have I have a four-year-old grandson that's playing in Vegas now, and he watches Knights games, and then he hit the ice last year for his first learn to skate, and he thought, I'm going to hit the ice. I'm going to be like the Knights. And you're like, nope. It's going to take months before you can actually even get a whole lap around without falling and being able to stop. So that whole understanding of the process, and your dad's been such a great instructor of all that for so long.
For sure.
You want to talk about the Grizzlies and what's going on? Will this get released today? Well, you want to talk about tonight and this Friday, Saturday?
Sure, yeah.
So you guys have a game tonight. Probably by the time this gets released, it'll be in a few hours. Who are you guys playing this week and what's going on?
We have Rapid City Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. I think Guns and Hoses is Saturday.
Guns and Hoses
isn't
is Saturday.
Yeah, so I don't know if there's any tickets left, but if you can get any for Friday, come out and watch. It should be good. I think we're 6 points out of a playoff spot currently. And Rapid City's leading us at the moment, so I think it's a really big weekend for us.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, being home is great. We've seemed to really respond when playing at home. We've struggled a bit on the road, so we're excited to be back home and against a team that there's a real opportunity to climb the standings and get back into a playoff spot. I think the year, it's been hard. We talked about it. Like, obviously, I only played 4 games. I can't play anymore. Trent Miner's been up for a long time, very deservingly so of his play. He's a great human being, and we're really excited and happy for him. And then we had, at the beginning of the year, Dante Giannuzzi, who was our third string at the beginning of the year, has really had to step up and fill some big shoes, and I think he's done a phenomenal job. And on top of that, we've had injuries and, we lost 2 guys to season-ending shoulder injuries. Again, I've been out. We've had guys get called up. So it's been a bumpy ride so far, but obviously we still have a lot of hockey left, and I think we're starting to turn a corner here, so we're excited for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Did you go on the road with them, or were you here?
I've been here.
Yep. Okay. I followed a lot of that road trip, and, man, it was the ups and downs. Like,
yep.
Getting blown out and then blowing them out. Like, it was awesome.
Yeah.
And I know it sucks, but like you, as fans, you want to see them win every game. But as a person that understands the ups and downs of hockey and seeing, all right, this is a long road trip, which those can make or break a team. In mm-hmm. fact, that can turn your whole season around one way or the other. And I think it was 5-6 or 4-5 or it was pretty close, the wins and losses on the road there.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a 9-game road trip, right?
Yes.
And you have 3 at home and then back on the road.
Yep.
That's brutal. But I think those games where you were in them and you fight through those, I mean, you know more than I do. You had those long road trips. Those are the kind of games that really bring you together, like learning how to figure that out. Like, oh, we're down. We're on the road. This sucks. I didn't sleep in my own bed. I didn't get my normal meal, whatever. But we gutted out a win against a team that beat us 7-1 or 7-2. There was one blowout, and then they came back and won the next night. So
yeah, the last road trip, we lost 9-2 to Kansas City, and then we ended up winning in overtime the next night. And that's the best team in the ECHL. So it's like we talked about, we went through all those injuries, have all those call-ups, and you know, we're able to beat the best team in the ECHL. Like, it's not like we've had a bad season in the sense that we can't compete. Like, we can compete. It's just more stringing it together. And I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, I feel like we're a pretty close group, but going on those long road trips and being around each other, like, fighting through the adversity and winning some of those games, and you know, even losing some of those games, like, I think that's what ultimately brings you closer together as a team. You go through the ups and downs together. You're on the road together. Like, that's your family at that point. Like, you're not home. You're not away from each other. You're always together, always spending time together. So I think that really brings us close together as well.
Jocko talks about, I don't know if you read Jocko or whatever, but a lot of the like Navy SEALs leaders talk about what brings a team closer together is adversity.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard things, doing hard things, going on a 9-game road trip and gutting out a game, winning a game in overtime.
Yeah.
To a team, for one of the best teams in the league who beat you pretty badly the night before. That brings the team together.
Well, I mean, look at the Edmonton Oilers. What was their start? Like, they didn't start off very well, right? You talk about adversity bringing a team closer together. That's a prime example. They don't start the season well. What are they on, a 13-game heater right now?
Oh, yeah.
So they didn't start well. They had all the tools, obviously. They have some great players there. Yeah. They just weren't stringing it together, and they went through some adversity. And whatever they have found, like, they're drinking some secret sauce over there, but they found it, and they're doing well.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Although I don't want to see them win.
Yeah, that's fair.
No, please don't text me or email me on that one. You mentioned Trent Miner.
Yep.
He's back.
Correct.
So do you think he's going to, I mean, I know you're not going to give us any insider information.
Yeah.
He's been yo-yoed where they'll send him back for a game and then pull him right back up for the weekend.
Yep.
Should we plan on him being here this weekend?
He'll for sure be here tonight.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's here. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Perfect. I'm not going to ask. I get it. You don't have to say more.
And no insider information, just my own personal opinion. I think he deserves to be up there. I think he's done well up there.
Man.
I think I've heard you mention him before, too. He's paid his dues down here, and he's done well. I think, you know, for what it is, I feel like he's kind of mastered this part of his experience and his career, and deserves to go up there and get some opportunity and master that part. So, you know, for however long he's here, I'm excited to have him here, and we're excited to have him here. And
he's a game changer for sure.
Yeah, I hope he goes back up, and I hope he gets to play more games and continue to develop, because he's a young kid, and I think he's got a very bright future ahead.
Yeah, I think so too. I just hate seeing, like, I love watching him play. I hate seeing him here.
Mm-hmm.
He does not belong here.
For sure.
I just don't think he does.
Yeah,
I think he's an AHL goalie. I don't know why I don't know why they keep sending him. I think he's proven it while he's there too. Yeah, he got pulled the other night. I saw that game. I wouldn't blame that game on him either. Or, I mean, I think he got pulled at 4 goals, and I would say maybe one of them he should have had. The rest of them were not his fault.
He's probably played 10 games up there too, so it's like he got pulled 1 game out of 10. Like, I feel like that's kind of pretty much standard as goalies in today's day and age, to be honest with you.
Got himself,
or maybe not pulled, but like, you're not going to be great every single night,
right? And he got himself a shutout while he was there, which like, he's known for here. And I'm a fan of his, and I just don't think he belongs here. But we're lucky to have him when he's here. He's a game changer.
Have him while he's here.
But I'm also a huge fan of Dante. Like, that kid's unreal.
Yeah,
and not only, like, he's a good goalie. You could tell he was a really good goalie. You know, he played 4 years in Portland in the Dub.
I believe so, yep.
And he was good there. He was there when Mason Manek was there. So yep. I just happened to see him play. And I'm going to watch the goalies. Most of the time I knew if Mason was on the ice or not, but I was usually just watching the goalie, right?
Yeah.
I always thought he was a great goalie. But man, what a great kid, too.
Dante's unbelievable.
Blown away by what a nice guy that he is.
We're really blessed. And when Trent is here, we talked about how great of a goalie he is. He is an unbelievable human too. Up there with one of my favorite goalie partners I've ever played with. I've been fortunate enough to get to know him pretty well. And even the new goalie we got, Will Cranley, like all three unbelievable kids. I'm going to call them kids because they're young. Yeah. The sky is the ceiling for them. Like, they have so much potential. We talk about Dante. It's his first year pro and thrown absolutely into the fire. Like, I think Ryan thought he was going to come in here and have a chance to learn from me and learn from Trent and kind of find his way and find his game. But like, he's just got thrown into it, and he's handled it like such a pro at, you know, 21, 22 years old. So what can that guy do for with another season or two?
Oh.
Maybe in the ECHL. I think that he could obviously get an opportunity to get called up as well. And it's fun to watch him. He's such a competitor and a little bit different goalie than I am just because of his size. But man, that kid competes like no other.
Yeah, he's fun. And it's fun. And Will, so, you know, Will comes in, gets hurt, kind of got a high ankle sprain right away. So I'm in there. I sit the bench. I go in the next morning. He's in there getting treatment on his ankle, and they're like, I think he's just going to go out for 15 minutes, do some drills with Garrett, and then get off the ice. So I got completely dressed, went out there, took some warm-up, and then Will's like, hey, I'm going to just see how it goes. I'm like, all right. And then there was a challenge. Remember, there was like a 3-on-3 tournament going.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get that kid out of the net.
No.
You know, the smart thing would have been for him to go, well, I'm nursing something, so I'm gonna take it and get better. But the competitive part of him is like, no, I'm gonna push through this, and he did phenomenal.
Yeah,
some of the saves he was making, like, he's a great kid too, and wants to be a firefighter when his career's over. So
does he?
Yeah,
puts, I didn't know that. That's a good fun fact.
Puts him up a notch for me.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Yeah, no, so he's great too. Like, and some people like it, and some people don't. But like, Will's always text me, hey, can we do video or what'd you see there, or just. Oh. Loves talking about the game, loves trying to get better when you know, he feels good and we have extra time, you know, likes doing extra goalie work. And it's been great to get to work with all three of them. Obviously, I've worked with Dante and Will a lot more than I have Trent, but just even learning from Trent and being on the ice with him and picking his brain has been unbelievable for me.
Does it get a little weird to get a guy from St. Louis when you guys are the Colorado? Like, is there like a different competitiveness for keeping the net? As a goalie, or is it just like, oh, you're my teammate? We're all,
yeah, I think it's just more of a teammate thing. Like, okay. You're just, yeah, we're just all teammates. It's funny because you look at Jordan Binnington, they try to send him to the coast, and he said no.
Yeah.
So then they loan him to a different AHL team.
Yep.
And then he gets called up back up to the NHL and goes and wins the Stanley Cup. If I remember the story correct, I can't remember where he got loaned in the American League, but when he won the Stanley Cup, he was still wearing like the Gitch. And for non hockey fans, that's like the Under Armour stuff. With the American League team on it. If I'm not mistaken, I feel like I've heard that story before.
That's 100%, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. It's like, I don't think it matters. Like, at the end of the day, we're all hockey players. We all want to play games. We all want to win hockey games. So, and we were in a need. We didn't really have anybody. So we're grateful to have Will here. And I think he's done a great job. And he's really coming into his own as well. So it's exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome. You mentioned, okay, so game tonight, game Friday. I know Friday's getting a little sold out. Saturday, it's going to be, like, if you want tickets for Saturday night, there might be some, but you better get them now.
I would say might.
Because Saturday night is the Guns N' Hoses that I started.
Yeah, nice.
Ran it for 17 years.
I'm grateful for you because it's always a good one.
It's the biggest night for the Utah Grizzlies. I know some of the other nights are getting big, but the police and firefighters go out, and they individually, if you want to play on the team, you have to sell 30 tickets to the game. We started with 10, but we had... And I didn't think we'd have enough players. When I started it, I didn't think we'd have enough players to get a whole team on both sides. And then players started kind of coming out of the woodwork, and all you had to do was sell 10. And then we had more players and more players, and I'm like, all right, you really want to prove it? Then sell more tickets. This is for charity. Do more charity work. That's, you know, go out and raise more money for charity. Well, then that wasn't a problem either. So we raised it to 30. And then you got, like, the leading ticket guy is also the worst player on your team. So then we're like, crap, that guy has to play. These games are getting more and more competitive, the Guns N' Hoses. So then we start saying, we need a B team, and now there's a C team.
Oh, wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so now there are three games.
Wow.
And same with the police. They went through the same thing. There are enough police and firefighters playing hockey that there's like a game. I don't know the game times, but they're on the Grizzlies website. So there's a C game, a B game, and then an A game. And the A game should be a lot of fun. And I'm actually on shift, but I wanted to go watch and support. Like, I've had my time. I want to see everybody else get their chance to shine. And but there are a lot of times where I'm like, man, I want to jump in that net, play that game.
Yeah.
But it's fun to watch the guys play. And it's the fans have a great time. You get a ton of police and firefighters out there really enjoying themselves in the stands. But it's hard to get a ticket if you just want to go to the Grizzlies game.
Yeah.
But those are the best games to go to because it's a great atmosphere.
Mm-hmm, for sure, yeah. So it's always sold out there.
If you can get a ticket, go Saturday night. Anything else you want to leave us with, man? I know you got to go. And is there any other messages you want to say? I know you said a big thanks on your Instagram page.
Yeah, no. I've got a lot of great texts and phone calls from a lot of people, old coaches, Billet families, you know, people that I've met along the way. And I'm truly just very thankful for everything I've been able to do and all the people that I've met in my life. And I really appreciate the support. and look forward to what's next.
Awesome. We also look forward to what's next. Garrett, thanks for being on the show. And why don't you just keep coming on? Let's have you on every once in a while, and you gotta kind of be our, you know, come fill in, be a co-host, and talk hockey until you find your next job.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. Thanks again for everything, Jay.
All right, that is the Puck Report.